Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits. Making their way into your ears. First, from a place called
because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Fela Tapender Stevenson.
From Echo City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are gonna blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rob Florence and I am joined as ever by the main man, Stevenson Beam, the main man for the three tunes himself, the one and only. They call him, his name is the man they call...
Greedo.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Peace and tip. Hiya. Good to see you. Feels like I've seen you in a while.
In a wee while, mate. I've been hard in rehearsals. Difficult to find time to sit and talk about wrestling with your pals. Well, I have got my nose to the grindstone.
Well, I can see that you seem busy and I look so media. Your show's getting quite a lot of promotions all on Instagram, it's all on Facebook.
It's a wee bit come out. We need to try.
Boys, sorry, I need to jump in. This is going a bit fucking dodgy here, boys. Sorry, man.
Come on.
Sorry. It's never usually like this, man. I've got cabled fucking connection here. Let me jump to the living room.
Keep all this in. This is good stuff.
We need to keep this in because folk will be like, where's John?
Keep all this in. This is good stuff.
Who's this random voice?
We'll explain in a minute exactly what's happening with John. We'll explain in a minute, right? We'll resume in a minute. We'll be back in a minute.
Cool.
Right, well, we're back. We're through in in another room now. It's getting recorded from another room. That's high-tech stuff that we're involved in here in that Trudera Wrestling Daft. And you might be wondering, where is producer John? Whose voice was that? Who did we hear there? Who is it? It's... You guys say your name, mate?
Say something, Ryan.
Oh, it's me. Sorry, I thought it was good intro. Aye, it's me, Ryan. How's it going?
It's him, Ryan.
I'm dying, John.
Producer Ryan has dropped in to help us out because John is away to Barbados on holiday out of the blue. He's away to Barbados just round about the same time where me and Grado have started asking questions about how much we're getting paid.
By the way, that's a good point, mate. That is a very
John
very...
is away to fucking Barbados.
Aye, and by the way, apparently he's staying in the same street as Rihanna. He's got a maid and he's gone to the fucking cricket and a Falkirk tap. By the way, that's what he says, look out for a Falkirk tap.
And Grado's grafting away every fucking morning.
Aye.
I'm in there rehearsing for fucking 10 in the morning to 6 at night. Next week it'll be 10 in the morning to 10 at night. I'll be rehearsing. And John's away to fucking Barbados.
Exactly, mate. I went to Arran for my holidays. And by the way, he flew premium economy.
I've not been on a holiday for so long.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I haven't even had a fucking holiday.
No, you were in Largs at the weekend.
I was in Largs at the weekend. He's away... to Barbados, can you believe it? Went to Largs at the weekend, went to Nardini's, had some ice cream.
Yep, that's good ice
and
cream.
And I was saying to people, I'm one of Grado's mates. He's favouring these parts, not it.
Mm-hmm. What were they saying?
They were saying, oh, we all love Grado running about here, all down this coast, we all love Grado.
What kind of ice cream did you get in Ardini's? I like the tablet one.
Mint choc chip.
Oh, mate, why did you get mint choc chip?
Because it's a classic. Ever since I was a wee guy, I would get mint choc chip ice cream for Ardini's.
I think it tastes like toothpaste.
No to me at Disney.
Right, well, that's fine.
No to me at Disney.
Good for you. Know you.
I mean? But that's because I use the Arm & Hammer whitening toothpaste that tastes like bicarbonate of soda.
Is this a read?
Have you ever tried Arm & Hammer, Grado?
No, what is that?
It's a fantastic new... Listen, guys, I need to tell you, we've got a big offer for you for Arm & Hammer toothpaste. What you have to do is you need to go to the chief executive at Arm & Hammer's house at 3 a.m, knock the door and tell them Grado and Rab sent you.
And you get 10%.
Knock the door with a baseball bat and tell them Grado and Rab sent you. Right, so AI, so it's been...
This is annoying, but I'm going to need to turn off my bean machine, my fridge. It's doing my boxing.
Well, I'll keep talking while you're doing that. I've missed yous, I really have. And obviously, this is a really significant week. I'm looking here at the video version of this podcast that we're doing. And producer Ryan is sitting there. He's got an NWO t-shirt on. He's in there. He's sitting there in the black and white.
Yeah.
He's got the NWO t-shirt on. And it's a hugely significant week in the history of pro wrestling because we lost Scott Hall. Mm-hmm. Razor Ramon, which is a funny one, isn't it? Scott Hall dying because obviously it's a big loss, right? But it becomes a bigger loss the more you think about it, the more you actually think about who he was and where he was and at what point he was a real big player in the game. That was the time for me, you know what I mean? That was the time.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. But ever since it's happened, or at least we got news that he was in life support, I've non-stop been watching Everton Scott Hall. You've probably not had time, Rabbit. Ryan, I would imagine you're the same as me. The first thing I done was stuck on the ECW entrance with the Fugees. I've watched his U shirts. I've just been having a pure Scott Hall marathon, man. And you're right, you don't actually realise what a loss is to wrestling, because for me, whether you're watching him in the ring, whether you're watching him in shoot interviews, where he's doing anything, he is the absolute coolest wrestler that's ever walked the planet. I don't care what you say. And I idolised him. Me and Shaq idolised him, man. That we'd wrestle, go back to the tail and stick on something today with Scott Hall, because he's just so entertaining to listen. Doesn't he give a what he says, he's so honest. I love it, man. Just cool. Just so, so cool, man.
The only thing, we'll talk about Scott Hall more later, obviously, so we'll save some of our best stuff for later on. But I think, you know, we've obviously got a plan for this show about the things we're going to talk about. But I think ultimately we're going to be mainly talking about Scott Hall because in terms of big losses, wrestling history-wise, it's one of the biggest ones, I would say. And it's also one that kind of leaves a lot of people sad. Do you know what I mean? It leaves a lot of people, this isn't some fucking wrestler that burnt loads of bridges and loads of people fucking hated him and all that. You know what I mean? He was an important figure in the centre of a lot of stuff. And as I've said many a time on this show, I love Big Kevin Nash. You know what I mean?
That's
Big Kevin Nash's, you know, big mate away, you know what I mean?
So, there's a lot of folk that are really affected, but that will be really affected. I know. When I was at that Comic Con in Aberdeen on Sunday, I was with Booker T when he found it.
Oh, really? Aye.
Aye, and he was. It's because I was. He had went to the toilet, and a guy had came up to the table and said, "Oh, Scott Hall's in life." In fact, I don't even know if he had said Scott Hall's in life support. He'd said, "Oh, Scott Hall's in life."
Was it when he had the three heart attacks or something?
I think so, right? And you know, what I'm like, I'm always desperate to tell my story. Oh. He was an asshole to me. He was an asshole, right? He was an asshole to me. And at this point, Booker T comes back for the toilet and he reads his phone and finds out, and he throws his phone in the ground and got really quite upset. Jesus. Of course, I've went, I had to totally change. I was like, fuck, I actually realised. I was like, no, hold on a minute, man. That's just, you know, this is quite intense, quite sad. It's going to be a big loss to professional wrestling. So he was cut up about it, and he said there's going to be so many people that are right upset about it.
Aye, definitely. Definitely, aye. So we'll talk about all that as we progress through this episode of Wrestling Daft. Arsenal came out to Razor Ramon's steam train, by the way, in a second against Liverpool.
You got footage, Ryan?
No, I don't, mate.
Was he John with top footage?
Aye.
John would have footage, but he would have the most low resolution, the most bad quality footage possible.
I wouldn't put you through that, boys. I wouldn't put you through that low quality stuff. Yeah, I'll just talk about it.
And I'll tell you something else, right? 20 years ago today.
Yep.
Edo, one of your favourite matches of all time.
Absolutely. The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. I couldn't believe that was 20 years ago. I saw that in Lad Bible. 20 years, mate. Which also means that it's 20 year the more since I got Molly, my first Golden Retriever. I totally remember everything about the two nights.
That's nice that they're connected, the two things in your mind.
My mum and dad drove down to Leeds to pick up Molly, and I remember they left me lit. A tenner to go to Morrison's, and I was able to stay myself, and I remember buying 4 double chocolate muffins, barbecue, Texas barbecue Pringles, or just normal barbecue Pringles, and I remember watching Mania and just being like, this is the best, The Rock versus Hogan, plus I'm getting a dog tomorrow.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
You know what I mean? What a buzz, man. Remember when life was just pure, oh, I'd love to go back to that.
When life was as simple as that, It was bloody brilliant, man, when your man dad went away and left you a bit of money and all that, and you could get a takeaway in and everything, and the house was yours.
It was just, I know, it was amazing.
That's a fucking magic time, isn't it? That kind of stuff. I don't know why your man dad were giving me money right enough, but... Yeah. So, news, Dolph Ziggler, obviously, has won the NXT title since I've been away. What do you think about that?
That's mad.
Big rotten Dolph Ziggler.
That's mad, man.
I've got no time for Dolph Ziggler, right? Thunder Rosa beating Britt Baker for the AEW Women's title. It's a surprise, right? It's a surprise. I thought they were going to keep it on Britt Baker for a long, long time, but that was good. But we were talking about, well, you and John were talking about real life heel, face heel turns.
Yeah, before we get into that, did you ken who I got on the show last week? I don't even know.
I thought it was interesting that you waited until I wasn't there to get... the guy with the worst gimmick ever in the history of wrestling onto Wrestling Daft.
Well, I thought it made sense. I was driving up to Aberdeen and he texts me out of the blue, is this still your number, Gredo? And I went, aye. And he says, I miss you. I says, I miss you too. Are you available in half an hour to do a podcast? And he went, absolutely. And I went, well, that's ideal because I know that Rab was never ever comfortable about getting old Nick on. So we had a ball, but...
No, he's a great character. I've heard a lot of great stories about Nick and obviously, when I'm in character a lot on this show, it's kind of like the way Jim Cornette has been in character ever since the day he was born, in character as a cunt. So let's look at these real life heel face heel turns that people have been getting in touch with. Andy has suggested Jade Goody. Obviously, Jade Goody was a much loved figure, and then there was a bit of the racism scandal, which kind of flipped her heel, and then, you know, she really sadly, when you think about it, because she must have been super young, man, when you think about it now, really sadly got ill, and then that was a wee face flip.
That's one of the ones I still can't believe.
I remember when she was ill and she was dying, and there was a wee bit of me that was going, this can't be real, she can't actually be dying.
Exactly what you mean, this is surreal.
Aye.
This is surreal.
This lassie can't actually be dying, this is fucking mental.
Aye, no, absolutely. Actually quite affected me because I'll tell you what, I was a big punter for Jade Goody. See when she was in Big Brother the first time round?
She was just over that
full summer, it was a summer of Goody, man. It was a summer of Goody.
Totally, and she was just a young lassie. She didn't know...
I'm a minion!
Need training how to conduct themselves on telly like that, you know what I mean? Young, and it was a time, it was before people were constantly in front of cameras all the time and all that. And I just remember thinking, going... I remember I would read the newspaper headlines and I would see things like Jade Goody's like just get months to live in it, and I was going, that can't be fucking real, surely.
And you imagine what should be like these days with Instagram and Twitter and social media.
I think she would have been a star for life, probably, you know what I mean? One way or another. Because she'd, you know, I can't remember fully all of the stuff, but I remember after the you know, and the stuff she said was, you know, ridiculous. It was ridiculous and ignorant, but yeah, I think she did the work after it to try and, you know.
Well, sure she get told in the fucking diary room.
Aye.
In India.
Aye, that's right.
You better get him.
God, that's fucking unreal, isn't it, when you think about it?
Isn't
it? Like, that's right, I forgot it was actually when the Indian Big Brother won it.
Aye, it was on Indian Big Brother, and she basically got told in the diary room. So everything in her life, she, I mean, and even right to the end, obviously because of her two wee boys, she was filmed for the documentary.
Aye.
And, God, it was really sad. And I can totally remember watching a funeral live on the telly as
and
well.
And there was that nice dude she was with as well towards the end, wasn't it, as well, who kind of looked
different. Well, was he nice?
Was he no? I think so. That guy, Jack, was he no? I think he was.
I think let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, welcome to Jade Goody Daft. I'm pretty sure he was the guy, kind of wee blonde-haired guy, and he looked after the boys, isn't it?
No, there was too much pressure on that boy. It was because he was still young, and Jay died, and I think he wanted to play his part in being in Navy boys' lives. However, aye. I think it was within 3 months you were finding footage of him coming out, Ken. It was on the Daily Mail that he was out in a night suit and he was going home with women and all that, which you think, well, do you know what? He was a young boy at the time when you think about it.
Aye, and also, honestly, like, situations like that and grief and all that can send you off the rails and all, you know what I mean?
Well, that's
so, anyway, thanks. Thanks for getting in touch with that, Andy. Here, did you listen to Wrestling Daft Scott Hall tribute programme? You were talking about Jade Goody for 45 minutes.
Debating whether the ex-boyfriend was a fucking good guy or a bad guy.
Only fucking wrestling podcast to spend most of their Scott Hall episode talking about Jade Goody. Cooper Van Cupp says Germany in 1939 was a bit of a heel turn. I don't know. If anything, that was a really slow turn. That was like a slow turn. That was a... Kyle says Grado. The fact he wasn't at a wrestling show last Friday has made him a heel to me.
What wrestling show was last Friday?
I'm not sure, mate. I seen that coming earlier on, and I thought maybe Grado know more than I did.
Were you maybe advertised for something and never?
No, I hope not. No. I think the only I saw some Clyde Valley or was Pro 2 on? Was Pro 2? Pro 2 maybe on?
Pro 2.
I've been sent Pro 2's latest show on YouTube after Big Logan Storm, but I've not managed to catch it yet.
I'd like to see that. Ben says Craig White, of Rangers, obviously open to interpretation whether he's a heel or a face.
Well, I mean, I can tell you right now that was a heel turn. I remember seeing him Blackpool the summer that he bought Rangers,
mm-hmm.
and going, "Yeah, Craig, thank you for everything. Thank you for everything." I mean, it wasn't quite as bad as Ryan when he met Neil Lennon and Ashton Lane last year. I mean, Ryan had slagged Lennon all season and we bumped into him on a fit by Daft day out. And what did you do with Neil Lennon? He got down on his knees and he kissed his horn.
I shook his horn, and for some reason that I'll never get my head down, I kissed his horn. Like,
went right down his knees, man.
I didn't go down on my knees, mate.
He went down on his knees,
and he went
like
that,
P. What? You bent over a table for him?
Take for that, but you will. But I bent over a table anyway for Neil Lennon when she's on.
Scott McKenzie says VAR has made a heel turn.
Not for me.
Kieran Graham says Jeff Hardy's TNA heel turn in 2010 was underrated.
Are these
a
serious ones?
Abyss talking about they for months, and for it to be Jeff as a top guy in this enormous heel faction was very unexpected. Yes, Immortal was shite, but on that night the heel turn was fantastic. Were Immortal shite, Grado?
Who was Immortal again? I can't even remember that.
It must be a stable, right?
Was Immortal with Flair and AJ Styles or something like that? Is that what it was? Immortal.
Right, get googling, guys.
Double check that now.
All right, that was the Bischoff, Hogan, Abyss, Jeff Hardy and Jarrett. I don't have much memory of that, if I'm honest. Anyway.
Daniel says Jimmy Savile.
Standard.
KPGR says Rolf Harris.
I'm
going to get a string of paedophiles now.
It's just...
I knew it was going to happen. I was thinking, where's the paedos? Jason Robb says Trump. And Trump did a heel turn.
Well, you remember he was quite over at WrestleMania 23, right?
He was quite over. He was the face. He was a baby face at that, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. Well, that's what happened there. Jason put it on saying, Trump, easy. Ryan Wilson replied to him saying, when was he ever a face? And Jason just went, WrestleMania 23.
There you go.
I mean, you go back to, like, see Howard Stern, he hates. He's a pure Hillary Clinton guy. I know I'm obsessed with Howard Stern, but he would get Donald Trump on in the 90s and early noughties and be like, Mr. Trump, thank you for coming to my show, Mr. Trump, Trump. The Yanks loved them.
Beppe Signori says Michael Barrymore.
Where do you turn heel?
Well, I would say Barrymore's maybe a tweener.
He's a tweener.
Barrymore's a classic tweener.
Aye.
And lastly, Bob, your uncle says Jeremy Kyle would be a heel throughout the show, then become a baby face at the end when he sends folk to rehab.
Did you catch some of that documentary?
No, I never saw any. Was it bad?
Oh my lordy, lordy, lord.
I watched it all, man. I used to love Jeremy Kyle, man, and now I can hate him.
Now you probably think yourself is quite dirty, actually, thinking that you got a kick out of that shit back in the day when you think it was absolutely brutal what they would do. Total exploitation. Folk with addictions, and don't get me wrong, there's some folk with they were addictions that were bad people, but it was a matter of getting them on, exploit them. You're a fucking dirty. Well, it wasn't that, but he did swear that there was footage that leaked, or at least for when he would record in the studio, Rab, and he's giving it. Ah, fuck. Who's talking? Ah, for fuck's sake, hey, who is that? And like, bringing on like runners and all that, and kind of making an arse of them and stuff like that. But what I found very, very interesting. Because did I tell you that, see the guy that created World of Sport on ITV, did I tell you that? Tom McLennan. He was a guy that
created the New World of Sport show.
Created the New World of Sport.
You mean Tom?
Tom
McLennan.
Tom McLennan, right? Tom, who had basically dealings with for nearly 2 years solid. He was Jerry McHale's best man and also the producer of the Jerry McHale show. So, wow. And obviously Jarrett was involved in it and stuff like that. So I've got like, so he was involved in it. Does that name ring a bell, Ryan? Did they bring this guy up?
Aye, he was the guy that they had in front of the Parliament in that documentary. Right. They had him and that guy, Graham, that does the aftercare.
Graham! Oh, that was so bad. Aye. But very, 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 very interesting. But because I've got the likes of like Jarrett texting me, going, "Is there any way I can see this Jerry McHale documentary?"
Oh, really?
Because obviously he worked with Tom as well, so he's like, "This is just mind blowing to see this guy come under so much pressure." Wow. Because he was a guy, and I think even back then he knew stuff was coming with Jerry McHale. I think that was maybe one of the reasons why he got World of Sport gone. He had Rinder, he had Jerry McHale, but he knew that. The Jeremy Kyle didn't have long left because it was coming to that time and we were getting a wee bit, you know, these folk becoming exploited, we're becoming a lot less tolerant of that sort of shit. Do you know what I mean?
And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that, Jade Goody, Jeremy Kyle, or just random wrestling related stuff,
it was Tom
at Wrestling Daft, Insta Wrestling Daft podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com.
But it's funny, right, because one, hold on, I'm not saying what wrestling is, I've probably said it before, but remember, I would recommend some of the wrestlers, and Tom would go, to me, he's just a man in pants. Again, wrestlers that were good, but never had a character. He's just a man in pants for me. He's just a man in pants.
Now, every week we separate the diesel prices for the petrol prices. Very good, as we bury or put over stuff for the world of wrestling. So, what do you want to talk about this week, Grado? What are you feeling? What do you want to... No, I want to talk a wee bit about...
Biggie.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we've got to talk about that. I don't know what you say about that. Very lucky is what you say, right?
For me, Rab, it's like a SmackDown... The opening match, a big guy like that, taking a move like that on
taking
the outside,
a bum lot. Yep.
It's like, it's beggar's belief, man. I mean, seriously.
Well, I think you've hit on something interesting there, because I do think these shows, they're doing too much. Every match is doing too much. It's interesting as well, we hear Scott Hall, right? A lot of these stories for a lot of people, for a lot of wrestlers, talking about Scott Hall saying to them backstage, slow down, all that kind of stuff. And you kind of feel like there is that sense that they fucking need that, man. They need somebody there just going, because you think about Scott Hall, bringing Scott Hall into it again, but he, sometimes he wouldn't do that much in matches, you know what I mean? He had like explosive acceleration and all that, and he could hang with anybody, you know what I mean? Mm. But he also knew how to just, it's these great, the greats know how to kind of distill everything down to just these kind of wee moments, discrete moments.
Aye.
I kind of feel that a lot of these matches you're seeing now on your SmackDowns and your Raws that are just, you know, just a weekly churn of shows, and they're fucking, you know, like you say, bumps like that. There's no need for it.
Mate, I'd rather watch Scott Hall hit a crisp what punch than see something like that. You know what I mean?
But he's a very lucky man, and obviously we're all very glad that he's...
And even just wee daft things, like, so, let's say he was getting put in a sharpshooter, right? He's about to get put in a sharpshooter. So he's selling up like, just wee things like that, man. You're like, this guy's a man.
And that's the fucking tiring thing about, you know, hitting out all that stuff about storytelling and all that, but it's true. It's a cliche because it's true. So we could have been easily reporting on something fucking terrible. So very lucky and glad that Big E's all right. He's a very popular dude. Everybody
so knows. Is he going to be fine? I heard. I thought he broke his neck.
He did break his neck, but it's no as serious as was first feared. So I think, you know, he'll have to get a wee bit of work done. No surgery, I don't think, as far as I know.
No surgery. Because you see on that, see you're saying about big guys taking these bumps, man. You see it every single week, the big guys taking bumps. But is that like a freak accident for something like that to happen, or is it a case of it was bound to happen at some point soon?
I don't worry, buddy, because the boy that done it is a gent, and he's totally brand new, and my heart goes out to him. But it's like what Taz said, it's got nothing to do with strength, it was a technique. The technique, the way he hit the move was, I mean, he kicked his legs up, and I just don't know, he just didn't arch back far enough. And for me, it's totally got to do with tech. But the thing is, he's fucking Big E. It's like, he's like a fucking bus.
A giant.
You know what I mean? Bus. It's hard to, I don't know why. Because I said, obviously I was with Booker, I was like, but surely the road agent or producer, whatever you call him now, is turning around going, no, listen, it's opening match and it's a TV show. We're not doing that. And he says, well, they might have, the producers can say that all he wants, but they still done it. You know, it doesn't always work out. If you've been told not to do it, some folk will just do it. But why do they need to be taking bumps like that, really?
Well, we're glad nothing worse happened. Let's see what the punters are saying. David wants to put a revolution, a triple threat tag match in particular. Pace of the match was incredible. And once they bury the length of these pay-per-views, leaving the crowd spent in the last hour. The main event felt like an anticlimax after all that came before it. This is a wee worry I've got about WrestleMania, is like, you know, they split it into two nights, and then it feels like they're stacking the fucking nights again as well. So it's like, instead of solving the problem they had where the show was too long, by splitting any two nights, they've now split it any two nights, and then are starting to fucking pad day nights out as well. So you end up with two long shows.
And we've got all these celebrity matches. Is Austin? What's the crack with Austin? And I see Al Smith Celtic Cup rub.
What? It's actually a Sport in Lisbon one. It says Roberto.
I thought he was getting on there,
so just fucking calm down, boys. All right.
fucking Shelly King, you're going to have
This is Yeovil Town, boys. This is Yeovil Town.
Yeovil Town. I've got to take off my jumper.
What was I saying?
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, too long. But you were going to say, Grado?
Well, I didn't know that it was Austin is going to be on the KO show.
It's not a match.
Well, do you know, because I was spitting two minds about it anyway, but Austin... It seemed a bit random for him to come back at this point, eh?
Aye. What are the chances, though? Because
is it going to be in his breaks?
It is a wee bit underwhelming, I think, that it's Austin's going to be coming on the KO show.
And it's the main event of the Saturday night?
I don't know about that.
I think it is.
No, did they not say the women's match? Is it not going to be Ronda and Charlotte, I think, first night?
But what do you think are the chances of Austin turning up for the KO show? And because everybody knows a mile away what's going to happen, that Austin's going to come and stunner Kevin Owens with his boots and all that. What are the chances though of somebody else getting involved and then you've actually got a match for SummerSlam?
So Austin's got a match for SummerSlam?
Aye.
Well, then, are they not going to plant the seed with the Seth Rollins stuff now? Because I watched that, funnily enough, I watched a bit of Raw.
Well, I think with the Seth Rollins one is leaning towards Cody, isn't it?
Right. Well, is he even gone?
Aye, that's what they're leaning towards.
Cody's going to be at WrestleMania, surely to God.
Aye, he'll be at WrestleMania. I think, I wouldn't be surprised if the Owens and Stone Cold thing was like a bit of a scrap on the Saturday than a match on the Sunday. Spread over two. I mean, you get two audiences in Dallas, you want to have Stone Cold in front of us, so you need to find a reason to put them in front of both.
Maybe.
But surely, are folk paying to go just the in night?
Well, no, but you kind of need to bank for people who are, I suppose. You know, you would generally think people would pay for both nights, but you still probably need to factor in that some folk won't and they'll want to see Stone Cold.
I think it's just a matter of Austin's at Mania, and there'll be a couple of stunners and some Steve Weisers.
We were talking about Dane Orphan's, right, and on the seventh at the SEC, the Armadillo, right, we're doing a performance and it's a press night, right?
So that's April.
That's when all the critics come. Aye, 7th of April, right? Press night is when all the critics come in. That.
Can me and Crofty come?
Aye, if you buy tickets, mate. Aye.
Right, the capital there, on it, huh?
Listen, press night. Everybody's excited about it, right? Mm-hmm. All the actors are all like, what am I going to wear for press night and all that, and they're all like picking out their dresses and showing each other their suits and all that kind of stuff. Rob, what are you going to wear? Have you decided yet and all that, right? There's this boy called Martin Quinn, right, that's in the show. He's a really funny guy, and me and him were kind of sitting and they were saying, what are you going to wear? And I says to Martin, I says, imagine I just turned up at press night dressed as the Undertaker, just full. And he went, that's a brilliant idea, mate. You should turn up as Undertaker and I'll come as Kane. And the two is all, so we're standing there for like a 40 with Peter Mullen, and Peter Mullen's standing there, and then I'm just standing there like that as Undertaker rolling my eyes. And how fucking funny would that be? Can I get out of my head now? Now when I'm looking at... Sorry, Ryan, what are you saying?
Just going to say, please ain't quite well. I don't know, we're Kane Undertaker and Orson Sinner.
It's true. It's true.
Who came as my favourite orphans?
They're orphans. So now when I'm looking at Clay's for actually wearing, I'm going, that's fucking not going to be as good as if I turned up as Undertaker, man. It'd be, you know. Anyway,
you could do American Badass. It'd be easy to do if you're struggling with a big gothic cloak.
But just turn up on a motorbike, not
with a bandana on, not it.
Anyway, let's see what the punters are saying, right? Let's go by the punter. Scott puts your session Moth Martinez AEW debut in Dark last week. Dark Elevation. Been on a show with her, right? Great.
She's great. That was good to see.
Jimmy wants to put over the Patreon. Just signed up. Good on you, Jimmy. Anybody else that wants to sign up, we really appreciate it. Nice to Wrestlers wants to put over AEW signing Regal. Don't care what anybody says. That's their most important signing to date. Three-way tag at Revolution was tremendous. Billy Britt versus Rosa. The build was cold. Match was a snore fest. Only match on the show. Didn't like that. Stephen wants to put over Revolution, particularly Punk versus MJF. He wants to put over the Raw tag title match for Raw. And Austin's video respondent to KO. But Stephen wants to bury Darby Pin and Matt Hardy for a missed coffin drop. JR's commentary for Revolution and all the 24/7 title shit. I can't believe they're still doing it, 24/7 title. Can't
even. Did you see that coffin drop, by the way?
Matt
Hardy rolls it away, but doesn't get hit and then gets pinned. Fucking die.
That's happened a few times with Matt, innit? Did you know, hit an elbow drop on the fucking Finn Air a couple of months ago, no?
Did you know, see, it was that an Eddie Guerrero thing as well, didn't he? Tried to play off as that rather than the fact that he just made an asset.
All right.
Mick wants to put over Vince on Pat Mac's show, not looking like a corpse with the crying red eyes for once. He seemed quite with it. And wants to bury Mr. Hughes' shit breakfast he posts on Facebook. This is the kind of thing that you would talk about, Grado, Mr. Hughes posting shit breakfasts on Facebook.
He wants to bury him.
He wants to bury him for that. How bad does a picture of his breakfast here? It doesn't look good, right enough. It looks a bit messy.
Bread, eggs.
Slice of bread, some eggs. Is that maybe like totties or something?
A wee bit of potato, a wee fried totties.
That looks quite American with the fried totties like that.
It does, doesn't it? It does. It looks all right to me, to be honest.
I've eaten it.
Yeah, I did that as well.
I can eat the bread.
Draft Ash wants to put over just the wrestling in general. Good surprises and matches all round. And wants to bury all the wee fannies taking digs at WWE because it's a cool thing to do. Cooper wants to put over NXT 2.0 again. It's batshit mental and I've loved every second of it. Wants to bury Owens and Rollins fighting over an interview with Stone Cold. Match, fair enough, but that's pish. Is there an argument that NXT 2.0 is much more fun than NXT 1 was in its later days?
Well, I think they're later enjoying it. I've not managed to catch it, but was Rey Mysterio and Dominic were there? The reason why I know that is because JB was texting me going, by the way, Rey Mysterio and Dominic want me to FaceTime you. What are you doing? Unfortunately, I was away at a night out with the Gorado night out, so I couldn't answer it. So I was a bit devastated.
You turned down Rey Mysterio for Barry Ferguson?
No.
That's shocking.
I was like, I can't speak, mate. I'm out with Barry Ferguson, man, and Croft doing that. Keys a break.
Spray Paint Scott wants to put over OTT in Dublin. Incredible being back at the National Stadium with 2,000 lunatics. Made me think of Grado in the same venue a few years back, opening the show versus Charlie Sterling.
That is a mega, mega tiny venue there, by the way. There's been some cracking shows. I'd love to go back out there at one point. Remember that show, man? That was great, man. And actually, TNA used that venue, I'm sure, back in the day as well, and it was sold. I think there's about 2,000 folk can get in there. It's an amazing place to wrestle.
Well, now it's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to their run-in. Come on and give your thoughts and opinions on wrestling or just talk nonsense. This week, it's the great man, Ryan Wilson. Ryan weighs in a combined weight of 247 pounds. He hails from... Where do you hail for, Ryan?
Multi-story car park, where it looks at. Hi, Ryan.
Ryan, where do you hail for?
For Dumbarton, mate.
He hails from Dumbarton, Scotland. And his finishing manoeuvre is?
The stink face.
Stink face. How you doing, Ryan? What are you up to? Are you sitting currently outside your ex-wife's house and your motor watching to see when our new man turns up so you can go and hit him in the back of the head with a glass ginger bowl?
No, he's already in the boot. So I'm just going to this podcast and I'll go to leaving and dump him.
Whereabouts you got to put him, do you think?
Sir?
Whereabouts do you think you're going to put him?
Well, I can't tell you that in case the police listen to this.
I'm
quite near River City, so I might just stick him down there somewhere.
I think you need to go further than leaving, man. Do you rap?
I'll go to Helensburgh.
There's plenty of places to dump a body up here. Right. Have you ever eaten a guy?
No.
Hey, so Ryan, what's your story, man? Why are you in your motor anyway? What's going on?
The Wains are just sleeping. The Wains are sleeping now, so I'd want to wake them up.
Oh,
so you've came out to the motor today, the thing?
I'm fucking dying as well. I've got COVID.
Well, you shouldn't have been in your car, have you? I don't think you're allowed to leave the house, are you?
But I'm not going to drive anywhere.
He's doing deliveries. He's doing takeaway deliveries tonight. He's doing takeaway deliveries tonight. With COVID.
I forgot my mask.
I had a guy come out of my house a couple of weeks ago and he went, by the way, just letting you know I've got COVID. I was like, all right. And I was too afraid to say it and I was like, ah, that's cool, man. Because I've already had it, but I was thinking, folk are not caring anymore.
Did you let him in?
It was somebody didn't work in here in this wee bit in here. You just said, by the way, I've got COVID, but it's all right. I was like, oh, that's cool, mate. I know.
I don't think it is, mate.
Right, so Ryan, tell me a story, Ryan. What's going on with you?
Well, apart from having COVID, I work for the Martin Council. I'm a housing officer.
Nice. So you're the man to see if you're in Dumbarton. You're the man to see for getting a wee, Wayne's, we need a wee place for a garden. Can you get us on the list?
Aye. Go homeless. That's your tip. See your homeless, even if you're no. You'll get a house faster.
Say you're homeless and you'll get a house faster. That's the key.
Aye.
I tell you one thing that's good about Dumbarton is the various Castle. Places you... No, it's got everything in terms of for something to eat, isn't it?
McDonald's. It's got McDonald's, Burger King.
Hold on, it's still got Burger King.
It's not got a Burger King. It's got a Subway.
So it's just
and a KFC.
Hey, but it's got a Marks and Sparks and a Greggs Domino's. And all that.
It does have a Marks and Sparks, a Greggs. It does have a Domino's. It used to have a TGI. I know a TGI is a Frankie and Benny's, but that shut down.
That's shit, anyway.
It's at that roundabout. I go through Dumbarton twice a day. All the roundabouts, I remember when I learned to drive, when I had to pass my driving test, I had to do the roundabouts at Dumbarton. They were the most challenging things I'd ever experienced in my life.
They're toughies, man.
And they're a fucking breeze now. Now they're a breeze, but Dumbarton, got a castle. It's where River City gets filmed.
Right there.
Have you ever stood outside the River City studios before?
It's right outside my house. Like my back garden's there. River City's like right there. I could fucking throw a rocket, fucking Boba Fanti to.
Do you ever Sharon Rooney says
you're there? Will you, Gonny, do that?
Try it. I don't want to get the cops on me. Too much heat now. You know what I mean, but like when that dies down, I'll hit my rock.
It's actually Bob in the back of the motor.
I used to put my missus.
Have you and your missus ever been up in the bedroom and you've opened the window and shouted over at some of the River City woman to ask for a threesome?
No, I don't watch River City, so I don't know any candidates.
See when Johnny Beattie was alive, do you ever ask him for a threesome?
I didn't, but that's a shame. I should have. Missed my chance now.
So, what's your Scott Hall story? Was he nice to you when you met him?
I've never met him, but I've got a Scott Hall story, kind of.
Go, tell it, mate.
Just like, right, so it's not nothing to do with Scott Hall at all, really, right? But
good, that's all the best Scott Hall story.
That's the way we've been on it.
Good start, man, good start.
I had the shits, right? I was in Clydebank, and I needed a shite. And the only place that was open was like the Sea Clydebank Market.
Mm-hmm.
The wee shite market. They've got a wee, behind the butchers of all places, there's a public toilet, which isn't healthy, right? But anyway, I had to go, right? But I didn't realise it was a disabled toilet, and there's a wee crack in the door. So I was looking through, and there's somebody in a fucking wheelchair waiting to come in after me. And then, I don't know why, but I just felt you're bad. I was like, I need to pretend I'm disabled, come out here. I don't really know how to act disabled without being a pure offensive, right? So I just thought I sort of done the Scott Hall walk when I walked it, like sort of walking to the side, like the wee strut, like. And that was my limp.
So you done the Scott Hall surf walk?
I just sort out the toilet. I just fucked my tooth big arm.
I mean, I think that says everything, about Scott Hall that, you know, because he was a significant figure and, you know, he was a significant figure. And I think I think you made a good point. What wrestling do you watch now, mate?
Just AEW.
Just
AEW? I tried WWE, but SummerSlam or Survivor Series, one of them was so bad that I just stopped watching for ages. And then when the Royal Rumble came around, I thought, I'll get a chance because it's the Rumble. I thought, I'll get back into it and see what it's like. That was a fucking mistake.
I barely watched it since the Rumble. It was bad.
I had been away for that long. I was just like, who the fuck is Madcap Moss? Like, who the fuck are all these cunts? It's a bunch of jobbers that nobody knows. So I'm like, nobody's exciting me. I think this is the least excited I've ever been for a WrestleMania either. But I just don't care. It's like less than 2 weeks away and I don't give a fuck. So, I mean, that's
very uptight. Very uptight, man.
What do you think of Captain? Have you seen Captain come?
What in the garbage?
What? What's that?
Did you say
that? Yeah.
No, I said I'm uptight. I've got a body in the car. You know what? Para as fuck.
See if Grado was promoting the show, right? His family bash, right? And he booked you, right, Ryan? Who would you see if you had to wear anybody's skin on, right? If you were to come out and make an entrance and Grado's like, what are you going to wear? Remember, it's a family hang, so nothing too inappropriate. And then you went, I'll fucking show him inappropriate. I'll wear somebody's skin. Whose skin would you wear?
Would it be a wrestler's skin or just anybody's skin?
No, it could be anybody's skin.
What's a thinker?
A celebrity would probably be good. Don't just say, "Or oh, my neighbour two doors down." That's no help to any of the listeners.
Just to be made distasteful, probably like somebody that's dead, like come out with Ben Wozskin or something on, and it's all like falling apart. And that. What's going after me? Can I say that? Bank that out.
Ben, how do you say Ben? Benoit? You said
Benoit.
Benoit.
Also says
Chris
Benoit,
Jericho.
I can't really talk very well either because I'm all blocked up. Can you taste your food? Aye.
Does Chris Jericho go like hair plugs, hair extensions?
I think so.
He looks good, but
does he get fake abs? Do you think he's got fake abs?
No.
He is looking good, isn't he? He is looking good, isn't he?
If you're going to get fake abs, mate, you make them better than that, wouldn't you? Like, they're a bit kind of out of place, the abs.
I mean, you can't have them too good.
Because even when he was fat, he still had abs. The sort of fat guy abs some people have.
Aye.
He looks great. I think he looks fucking great. Anyway, Ryan, thanks so much for coming on and sneaking away for your family to give us a wee bit of your time. How far into the COVID journey are you? How many days in?
2 days. I've just got it, so I'm absolutely fucked. Tuesday, I think I got it. I think no day is a day.
Listen, get in and get cozy and just watch some stuff and take it easy, mate. What age are your wains?
2 and 4.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There's no taking it easy for you, mate. There's no taking it easy.
It's nursery in school, so it's one of the wins. Well, that's how I got COVID, probably, because I have been quite good, quite safe, but they're at school, so I can't really do
it
a bit.
Is this your first time getting it?
Aye.
All right. Well, we'll take it easy, man. Get rest. Drink plenty of water. We don't want to hear that you've died, because that would be just be a bummer. It would just be a bit of a bummer, man. We'd need to
probably need the tribute show and all that.
Aye, we'd need to do all that kind of stuff. 10 bells and that.
Is that true? Your family bash?
I will. Like, if you pass.
No, just keep one anyway, man.
Aye, okay. Aye. I actually can't take shout outs. You need to phone the box office. So phone the box office and they'll get and I'll be with it, right?
Sound mate, I'll do that.
Oh, you fuck, man. Hey, I'll see you later, Ryan. Thanks
see
so
there,
much.
Right, bye-bye.
Take it easy.
Take care.
See you. If you want to be on the run, and your best bet is to sign up to our Patreon, as the World Heavyweight Champs get first dibs, IC Champs get second, Cruiserweight Champions get third. Get on patreon.com/wrestlingdaft to get involved.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
You just made the list!
It's a list. It's a list. The list of wrestling daft. This week's dream matches lose out yet again. Nobody's interested in dream matches. As the patrons went in for the best wrestling t-shirts. What the fuck? Was this John that put this together?
Aye. It was, mate, yes.
Best wrestling t-shirt, 69% of the vote. So I'm going to give you my top 3 favourite wrestling t-shirts of all time. Well, it's actually really easy because number one is in this fucking thing.
Picture, right.
Yeah, Ryan, producer Ryan is wearing it right now. I'll tell you, my number one is the NWO t-shirt, right? Without a doubt. The number one is NWO. Number two is going to be Stone Cold, the classic fucking Austin 316 t-shirt, which I absolutely love. And my number three would be the Eddie Guerrero tribute t-shirt, the black with Eddie Guerrero's face.
Scarface.
In the dates, aye. Scarface style one. Beautiful.
Nice.
Absolutely beautiful. That's my top three. Paul, you any wrestling t-shirts, Grado, that you love, that you think fondly of, that you remember with fondness?
Well, there was a shop in Irvine in the Forum, that there was a WWF shop, And I would go in there, I'd get t-shirts when I was a boy. I had the It's True, Kurt Angle one. My gran bought me the Just Bring It. I was fond of that. NWO, I've had that. I'm trying to think what my absolute favourite one was.
Nothing. What about a Gradle t-shirt?
WrestleMania
32. T-shirt's pretty good, right?
That's a good one.
Big Man's merch on. Funded that guy for a couple of years.
Nah, that was a good one. Tell you funny, I was a Rangers fan.
It's fun, mate.
See what the punters are saying. Paul says that NWO Brandon still makes the WWE millions of dollars a year.
I bet he does, by the way. I remember getting that when I went to see the WWF when they came to Glasgow, May 2002. And I've got a distinct memory as well that when the show was starting, because I was more interested in going to the show. Aye, the matches were on, but I was like, well, we'll see if we can see backstage. Ken, I was always wanting to see, wonder if we can see him to the curtain. And I do remember Scott Hall peeking through just at the start of the show, just to look to see. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
It was him, or was it Regal? No, it was definitely Scott Hall.
Well, Jushin Thunder Liger says the Bullet Club t-shirt blew up into the mainstream. That's true. It was everywhere, Bullet Club, wasn't it? Simon says, got one made when I was a kid in Parkhead Forge with a smoking skull and what on the front and a big green Degeneration X logo on the back. Absolutely loved it. 11 out of 10 for creativity on his part. And he's pretty sure he's still got it.
That sounds like a pure half and half scarf and a fit, doesn't it?
Aye, it's one of the ones, isn't it? Bronze Cello says, one of my favourites. Definitely got chucked at a PE in school for wearing this. It's the Circuit DX one.
The hockey jersey. I always wanted that when I was a wee guy, but that was always too dear.
That
was about 50 bar at the time, because that was around about the time there was Jericho's hockey shirt and all. Remember that?
Aye. Jamie says, favourite as a kid is that I am cocked, locked and ready to unload Val Venus t-shirt.
Disgusting.
Just looking at pictures here. JR says there was a Triple H one years ago. It was light grey, I think, and it had two skulls facing each other. It was a very vague description. I can remember that right enough. Triple H has had nice t-shirts, actually.
I remember his Game Over one and all that. That was good.
Some Randy Orton ones are nice, I know.
Are they?
I just like quite like... part of, I love Randy Orton. Mac Dow says, obviously, that Sin Cara t-shirt that had a willy on it. And there's a picture here, and it does look a wee bit like a dauber. Ryan says, I know everybody hates him, but this is a beauty. I mean, it's really a terrible t-shirt. I am your pain, and it's Triple H. I don't think it's out. Everybody doesn't hate Triple H, do they?
No.
I hate that t-shirt, or that's stinking.
Ian says, this is probably my favourite, and it's a Drew McIntyre t-shirt. It's a great picture of Drew there, actually. His legs are looking really good.
I tell you what, that's one thing. WWE, there's not that many t-shirts that you see folk wearing every day yet. The stuff that pro wrestling tees churns out is probably more popular, isn't it?
You know, it's funny, isn't it?
Really, they're well on their game with the merch because we all the Bullet Club gear and the CM Punk, and I think they've got deals with some of the legends that are no part of the WWE anymore. I think they've got like a Steve Austin brand and all that in it anyway. So
I think WWE has a bit of an issue where they bring out too many t-shirts. So they change them up too regularly now that nothing gets a chance to become kind of iconic. You know what I mean? I think that's an issue. The New Day have had a lot of decent t-shirts, I think. You know what I mean? A lot of really, really kind of colourful, fun, good t-shirts. What? It's fucking true, mate.
I've had a couple of colourful, fun t-shirts.
Fucking sit
down. Fucking Rice Krispies boxes, not that. What the colourful, fuck?
Fucking sit down. Kieran says, classic NWO shirt, of course. CM Punk's AEW debut t-shirt and The Rock's Just Bring It shirt.
But see the likes of the NWO shirt, the amount of fucking dafties that end up parodying it, the amount of, you know what I mean, companies or wrestlers, it's annoying. It's like, I remember I brought out a Gradlemania one that was like, obviously a parody of Hulkamania and Colt Cabana going, you're a loser, man. You're an absolute loser. And I agreed with him. It was wrong.
Nobody has mentioned the Hulkamania t-shirt. Nobody has...
It said Gradlemania and it had under the It's Yourself, Brother.
But do you know it's weird that nobody's mentioned the Hulkamania t-shirt? Nobody's mentioned the Hot Rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper t-shirt.
That's a popular one, aye.
Yeah.
The Purple Macho Man one, I had that.
Well, I would listen, I saw a lot of people wearing that.
That's a cracker.
I've got a random one that I bought. It's a heavy machinery cap. It just says Stakes and Weights on it. I thought, that's pretty cool. I'm going to get that. It was like £7 on Euroshop. I thought, fuck it, I'm buying it. And I quite like it.
God, I remember last year ago, when New Jack died, I ordered one, a New Jack t-shirt and a Sandman t-shirt. I was fucking delighted when it came.
I might jump on. I'm in the mood to jump on fucking
mate,
eBay
should,
and buy some t-shirts.
Man. I like a fucking, what do you call them? Like a Brody fucking, what'd you call him, back in the 80s? Brody. Bruiser Brody.
Bruiser Brody.
Do you know what I mean? Aye, it's cool that there's stuff like that up there. It's cool, I think.
Aye, like Sable or something.
No.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, something like, why is he wearing a fucking Sable t-shirt?
There's so, mate, there's these random pro wrestling tees. I guess
like a Headbangers t-shirt.
Aye, there's all that up there. Maven.
A Maven t-shirt for
you know,
me.
To see.
I think what t-shirt would I really love to wear? I would love to wear a fucking Steve Blackman fucking head cheese. T-shirt of Blackman and El Snow. That must have existed, right?
Featured wrestler stores.
Let's have a fucking look, man.
Featured wrestler stores. I mean, there's every
right,
wrestler.
I'm right on eBay the now. Let's see. Steve Blackman t-shirt. Let's see if there is a Steve Blackman t-shirt.
Because C.W. Anderson. There's C.W. Anderson t-shirts up there.
I mean, there's fucking Steve Blackman t-shirts here. They're expensive. These are expensive. These
Glacier.
There's a Steve Blackman Take the Pain and Like It t-shirt, and it's £110.
Oh my god. There's Kelly Kelly.
This is unbelievable, man.
Luna Vachon. That would be quite random, wouldn't it?
A Big Boss Man t-shirt, I wouldn't mind as well.
Raven.
Let's see. Sorry, the listeners will need to bear with us now. Well, we're doing a wee bit of perusalizations.
Bit of online shopping.
Bit of online shopping. The Boss Man t-shirts, but it's not the best area of Boss Man, which was obviously when he was working with the corporation.
After the Wild Samoan.
Let's see who else could I look for. Papa Shango t-shirt. Let's see.
Tito Santana.
Ah, there's Papa Shango t-shirts here. They're expensive though. See getting these retro shirts, expensive.
Terry Funk, man, the Terry Funk University one, eh? That's a kind of legendary t-shirt, isn't it?
Aye. Oh, for fuck's sake. Can you believe it? Nobody fucking said the Cactus Jack t-shirt.
Aye. The Wanted Dead or Alive. I mean,
that's a fucking famous t-shirt, man.
Aye, is it?
And he's still going to room. If Mick Foley turns up at a fucking thing, he's getting the t-shirts.
Grab, go to Terry Funk's t-shirts and have a look at the t-shirts, mate.
Wait, I'm gone.
They are fucking tremendous.
Where are you looking for these? Just
go down to T for Terry.
Own what? Own Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com. No. I thought that's what you were on, no?
No, I was on eBay. I was looking at old retro ones on eBay. Let's see, right. So Pro Wrestling Tees. How are pro wrestling tees at shipping to the UK, by the way?
Aye, they come in.
Have they got a UK distributor?
No. I actually spoke to the owner once about doing that. About having pro wrestling tees UK.
Well, they should have, man. They're missing a fucking trick. Yeah. Well, let's see. Terry Funk, I'm having a look. Let's see.
This might be boring for cancer.
No, it's exciting. I think this is exactly what our listeners are wanting to hear.
They're all shopping as well, don't they?
Aye, they're all, let's get Googling. Even if you're driving, just get your phone out. And let's have a... These t-shirts are good, man.
And they're the Terry Funk ones.
Aye, the Funk ones are good. There's fucking loads of them. That's King of the Texas Deathmatch one's cracking.
I like the Terry Funk versus Sabu, King of the Hardcore one.
I like that Texas Bronco one as well, man.
That's a nice one.
Oh, man. Some of these are really nice.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Anyway, so check that out. Yeah, I'm sure you all know about pro wrestling tees, but if you don't, check that out because it's time to wear some t-shirts. And speaking of t-shirts, right, why not get a Wrestling Daft t-shirt at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. If you don't want to buy one of your t-shirts, you can always support us just by going to our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, where you can watch this video version of stuff and, you know, occasionally we stick other stuff up there. We have a Discord channel as well that you can get involved in. So go to patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We'd love to welcome you to the roster, and every wee bit helps. So thanks a lot for joining along with us. Now it's time for something different on Wrestling Daft, the watch along. Each week we get together as a wee community and watch a match together. Myself and Grade will give detailed analysis. Now you're going to find this match on the Wrestling Daft socials and on the episode description. This week our friend Roche Boy suggests a Nitro match between Regal and Goldberg for about 98. It's only about 6 minutes long and Regal legit shoots on Goldberg after he no sells him. That sounds fucking rare. I think I remember this. But I'm ready to watch it again. Are we doing it?
Let's do it.
So after three, you ready, everybody? 3, 2, 1, play.
So
here comes Regal. So I hope you've queued it up. You're watching it just now. It's WCW Monday Night Nitro. Oh, it takes me back, Grado, man.
Does it really?
Oh, big time. Used to watch Nitro in my mate, Ryan McLeod's house.
Is that a guy that blocked me on Twitter?
He blocked you on Twitter, mate, aye.
Why did he block me on Twitter?
Just had enough of you.
I think I blocked him back. Even though that makes completely no sense.
Well, you know, mutually assured destruction. It's like the Russia thing. You know what I mean? And this, you know, we would have watched this. We would have had a Chinese takeaway for Stans in Springburn. And we'd be sitting fucking watching this. And what we used to do was we would watch Raw first.
Aye.
And then we'd watch Nitro after it because we'd get the shit. We'd watch the shite one first, then we'd watch Nitro. And then eventually that swapped round and we watched Nitro first. And watch Raw, saved Raw.
Do you think anybody back in the day got mad when they said, let's just drop Bill and we'll just call him as Goldberg, the way people go after that nowadays?
Nah, right enough. Nobody made a peep.
Nobody made a peep.
It's better dropping the name Bill, man. Imagine being a wrestler called Bill.
Bill, I like it.
They should have just dropped the Goldberg. Shouldn't they have? Just call him Bill. So here we go. Regal looks in better shape now, to be honest, than he is in this.
It's one of the ones where I bet you Regal's went, listen, we'll just call it out there, mate.
Just health-wise, where do you think Regal is in this match?
He's keen enough at these kicks, man.
Look at these fucking kicks and arms, man.
I mean,
Regal's...
this is, but it's like, see, for me, what my opinion on that is, what he's obviously no keen on Goldberg, isn't he? So he's mega trying to expose him, we try to wrestle him, isn't he?
Aye.
You know, if you work in Goldberg, you don't wrestle him. You get what I'm saying?
Aye.
He's went, I'll show us after. And to be fair.
Or is he, or is Regal Danny's thing where he's like, right, I'll let's try and make you look good there and show
that you can wrestle.
Show that you can do this, that you can hang with this kind of thing. I'd like to give you a wee bit more credit than that, but then by Regal's own admission, he's occasionally a bit of a wanker run about this time, isn't he?
Ah, he was, because it's all been people have been talking about so much this week how much Regal has changed. Like 30 years ago they thought he was a goner.
Yeah, they, I mean, if you read Regal's book, I read Regal's book and it's you know, it's just he's very open about all that stuff, I mean, about who he was and the struggles he had. But this is a decent match so far, isn't it? But Goldberg's hanging in fine.
Aye.
Because you would think...
Oh, you know, he's giving a wee kick there, a wee flag kick,
a wee kick in the dish.
Wee kick. Here we go. It's not pretty, but is it? It's not pretty, is it?
It's not pretty.
But it doesn't need to be.
But Regal's just that. He's just a tough guy, Regal, as well, isn't he? I mean, look at him.
It's just funny. I can just imagine what this... Get off me. You know what I mean? Can you let this go? Fucking just.
But look at Regal.
I mean, I've been there, right, where it's like guys trying to wrestle me and I'm going, stop this fucking wrestling shit. You know what I mean?
I've
been there, man. I'm like, fucking get off me. Stop doing all that.
Yeah. I'm in a cannonball in the corner, fuck's sake.
Just fucking get off me. I don't even know him all the time. I'd go, fucking Norm, just fucking get off me.
Oh, nice. Oh, crisp as you like how Regal went over there, man.
Another kick to the head. I mean, this is as I mean, they've clearly got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they're winging this, aren't they?
Aye.
But I think for it being that kind of match, I'm fucking enjoying it, man.
But it looks like a contest, doesn't it?
It does look like a contest. It looks like that's a contest. Exactly it. Doesn't look like a dance. Doesn't look like a choreographed dance. Oh, it's looking like a. Oh, here we are.
Just kind of went to shoot him off there, and he's changed his mind. He's just whispered something. He's just put.
Oh.
I know it's getting.
Hey, for a chop.
I mean, this is an unbelievable amount of offence that he's getting in on Goldberg here, isn't it?
Oh, look, this is kind of like half minute.
Aye, Goldberg's starting to.
Aye. Brilliant.
Oof.
By the way, they'll be fucked, I know. It's that intense. They're not getting time to breathe.
No.
It's like a boxing match round, you know what I mean?
Look at these fucking.
There's no.
Forearms.
Clobbering one another. That's funny that he just headbutted him there, right? Because mm-hmm. I remember I sent Rigo an email. And tell me which one of my matches, and he had a go at me for headbutting somebody in a match.
Oh,
that
bump looked like a Serian, man. Regal took you. Jackhammer time.
Ah, that was nothing.
Ah, that was great, man.
Handbags it done.
Listen, I would watch that any day of the week.
I know what you mean. It's a bit like how we like the Goldberg Lesnar matches and stuff like that. I like things. This is different.
It's one of the matches where I don't think you would watch that as a neutral, as somebody that's not a wrestling fan who would watch it. I don't think you would guess in a million years that wrestling's kid on. Literally, the two guys were slugging each other about, flinging each other about, flinging themselves at each other. Looks as if the two guys didn't like each other. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I think that has been a matter of, hey, I'll fucking show this dafty. You know, go, you know, Regal backstage. So let's see what this guy's got. Oh,
interesting. Anyway. It's interesting though, because Regal has a habit of doing that. I can remember a few times Regal on WWE wrestling people, and they would very rarely would Regal wrestle their style of matches. More often, Regal would go out and they would wrestle his style of matches. I can remember Stone Cold having a match with Regal that was like that, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure.
No, I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that as well. So hopefully you watched that as well. Let's see what where does this info come from that's been pasted in here?
Don't know. John put that on. I didn't know if you were supposed to read that out or not.
There's a wee comment here. Steve Regal worked stiff shots throughout this infamous match, making Goldberg look pretty weak in the midst of a squash match-esque winning streak.
That's what I'm saying. That definitely wasn't that. You know, you think...
No.
You know, they've been told, right, this is going to go 3 or 4 minutes, Goldberg over strong, but it's been a bit of contest.
What it looks like is Goldberg is out there with a proper hard man who's using an unorthodox style for Goldberg against him, hitting him with some big shots. Goldberg's a wee bit flustered and a wee bit caught in the hop at first, but then comes back strong, wins, and he could even beat a guy wrestling that. Doesn't he look weak at all? This is the problem as well, that nowadays you don't need... You don't need to have a guy kicking out of somebody's finisher fucking three times to make them look strong. You know what I mean?
See, watching that and watching Goldberg, it puts my mind like Scott Hall always buried Goldberg and shoots, calling him a mark. He cared, man. He just never wanted to get beat. I couldn't care. You know, he's such a mark, man. He's such a mark. I fucking love listening to that talk.
Aye, it's...
What a mark.
Because that was a thing with Scott Hall, wasn't it, as well? You know, and we should, before we wrap up, we should just have one last wee chat about Scott Hall, is that Scott Hall never came across as a guy who cared about fucking winning matches or looking good. Or, I don't mean looking good. He cared about looking good. He cared about looking cool.
Aye.
He cared about making sure his charisma was coming across well. He cared about making sure he was in a good spot in the card. But he got the deal. I mean, his whole thing with the 1-2-3 kid and all that. Very few fucking wrestlers would have done that.
Yeah. No, he cared about making money, but he did care about, you're right, looking good. But he also wanted other people to look good as well. The union's coming up. I think that was put on him for Kurt Hennig, all the years that he spent with him. He has sort of kind of young boy on the road, do you know what I mean?
But he also understood, Scott Hall, that ultimately a heel's job, and I think this is what a lot of heels, a lot of bad guys in wrestling nowadays forget, is that ultimately a heel's job is to get beat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heel's job, is ultimately to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think Scott Hall ever forgot that. You know what I mean? As one of the best heels there ever was.
Bad guys lie. Bad guys cheat.
Yeah.
Bad guys take shortcuts. Good guys don't lie. Good guys, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You always go to that. Don't bury me out there.
So he was just
bury me out there.
He was perfect at that, and he was, you know, and he just had that. It's also the thing as well. It's like it was a total match made in heaven. Him and Big Nash working together. I think, you know what I mean? Because as strong as he was, as Razor Ramon, and as appealing as he was there, that whole fucking outsiders thing, man, it was just the best, man.
So
it was
cool.
So exciting.
I know, and you can tell that they're having such a good time when they come out and they're wee.
You wanted to be part in the NWO. You want part of that thing. Mm-hmm. I want to be hanging about with A-guys, man. It was even like the speed they fucking moved at, like the how slowly they came down to the ring. Just all of that, and just like swaggering and walking slow and sauntering, and they, you know, and they fucking about. It was just something so cool about it, man.
And I always love hearing about how, you know, right, you'd maybe like get told in interviews, or Bob Holly buried Jesus, Shane Douglas buried Jesus, and he was just like, why? I mean, we just went out and we had a ball, man, and these guys are talking about this 20 years later, you know, about how we were bad backstage. All he would say is, we just had a good time. We had fun. We made money, man. It's supposed to be fun. I mean, I love all that talk.
Because it was that thing, the criticism that you would sometimes hear about Nash over the years was that he fucking didn't care about wrestling. He just cared about, he just approached it totally as like a job, a business, make money and all that. And it's like, what, that makes him fucking daft. Mm-hmm. That makes him daft, the fact that he sees it for what it is, that he sees it for, you know, making sure he gets a big payday, making sure his mates get a big fucking payday. You know what I mean? Understanding his own value. That's the thing about Nash. Nash always understood his own worth. And you know, and I think that's the thing. And I hope as, you know, WWE are kind of in control of history now, a wee bit. They're in control of wrestling history now, because they've got all the rights to all the footage. They can make any documentaries they want. They can tell any stories they want. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes right down to it, that most exciting time in wrestling, when that all exploded and when that match was lit, it was fucking nothing to do with the WWE. It's nothing to do with them. It was the day with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash going out to this other wrestling promotion, and WWE had fucking nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? But they were, you know, they like to tell the story that it's like, you know, this is part of their story. It's not part of their story. It's fucking nothing to do with them.
You're bang on, aye.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, they did, actually, everything changed. As soon as that happened, everything changed. Mm-hmm. That was a kickstarted attitude there.
And it gave me my greatest period as a wrestling fan. The reason why I'm a wrestling fan still today is that fucking period. It's that time, you know what I mean? It's watching NWO on Nitro and being like, this is the fucking coolest thing, man. The coolest thing, this whole NWO thing, you know what I mean? So it's a massive loss, because it was just, he's a hell of a character as well, wasn't he?
It was some boy.
Listen, some boy would be one boy, wouldn't he?
I tell you, couldn't take him anywhere.
That's all you need to say about him. Some boy would be one boy, and some kid.
You'll never ever get another character like that, as Kevin Nash says. You'll never ever get a character like that in wrestling.
No, definitely
sad, man. It is quite sad, isn't it?
It's quite sad, man. It's you know, end of an era stuff, and it makes you think, you know, you start one of the first things I did when it happened was, I went and Googled, what's Kevin Nash's age and all that, and what's, you know, and you're going to, you know, these are the things. Kevin Nash, obviously, as a guy that looks after himself well and all that, you know what I mean? So obviously, we hope Kevin Nash will be around for a long, long time. But we're getting to the point now where we're having to start to look at the fact that even your Stone Colds, even your fucking Rocks are getting old. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even the young kids, the fucking upstarts, the precocious young kids like the Jerichos and all that are like 15. Old guys now, you know? And so this is what we've got to look forward to as wrestling fans. Not to end the episode in a total downer, but what we've got to look forward to as wrestling fans now is we're not going to have to endure the shocking early deaths of wrestlers. We're going to have to endure the natural late life deaths of wrestlers, you know what I mean? Which will be just as fucking painful. Maybe not as shocking, maybe not as surprising, but just as painful, just as upsetting, and it's going to really make us think about our own mortality as well. You've been listening to wrestling. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple.
Take care of each other and each other. What is it, James Brown?
Yes, and wherever you get your podcasts, mine for more content, get on the patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Get some t-shirts, pro wrestling tees are good. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. It's good. It's been great to be back. I've missed doing the show. And great fun, great pleasure. Great to see you, Grado. Thanks for stepping in, Ryan, and helping us out while John's away spending our money in Barbados.
Bring me back a programme for the cricket account.
And we'll see you next week up the road.
It's your sir.
Frontier. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.